move. Rafa, we are going to leave you there for today because I'm delighted to say that to see us out, to talk a little bit of English football and to play a little bit of IKTS, we have a special guest joining us today on the show. He is a man all the way from here in the UK. We spoke to him a couple of weeks ago about all things Sunderland and Newcastle, and he's going to let us into some of the secrets of this week's Premier League action. Mr. Christian Hennage joining us on the line to talk all things English football and IKTS. Christian, how are you today, mate?
I'm very good, mate.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have an English accent joining me on the show to take us through to the finale. We've been able to kick Rafa and his Yankee accent out of the way and have you wrap up the show with us today, Christian. Before we get into a little bit of IKTS, I know the score, we've got to look at some of the news from the week. And of course, yesterday, the big Champions League draw. The English sides are going to be reasonably happy with this, aside from Arsenal with the draw.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a difficult situation to put yourself in because you want to try and be confident about your own chances. And again, I think if you're going to win the Champions League, you're going to have to beat some good sides. That goes without saying. Just because you don't get them in the group stages, you're going to get them in the knockout stages anyway. And yeah, there's some familiarity there, I think, for Arsenal. There's also some new challenges. I mean, you look at Celtic as well. They've got a really tough one. I think even when you look at Ajax, there was a side last year that people thought, oh, you know, they'll finish bottom. And they didn't. They showed that they were a wonderful team that, you know, was very much more than the sum of its parts. And even City, who you think have got a fairly easy ride for the first time with, you know, Cheska Moscow and Victoria Pleasant, Moscow is not an easy place to go to. And CSKA have a very good side, I think. They still have a really interesting kind of energetic. So even if they do end up losing Kasiki Honda before that game actually comes around, and Arsenal trips to Naples again, as Chelsea showed, I think, the other year, that's a very difficult place to go, especially given that it's Rafa Benitez and there's a brand new sort of aura and revolution swelling through the streets of Naples. I wouldn't like to go there or Dortmund, to be honest.
Well, there's a number of Arsenal fans that I've spoken to in the last kind of 24 hours or so. I've already started there. Well, we handled Dortmund last time, but to go in with that attitude would be very much the wrong attitude for Arsenal to go in with, because this is a Dortmund side that obviously over the last 2.5 seasons has completely changed in experience, in its energy, and of course, in its ability in Champions League football.
Exactly. I think if you look at, you know, Manchester City, when they first played in the Champions League, there was a real naivety to them, very much like the kid at the first day of school. Dortmund were a little bit like that too. There was a lot of enthusiasm, but I think there was a real air of naivety. You have to remember, they were runners-up in this competition last season, and if it wasn't for Arjen Robben right at the death, they would have taken that to extra time, possibly even have won it. I think if you look at the Frank Ribery decision, that elbow, that's another turning point as well. So if I'm a Dortmund fan, I'm thinking, you know what, we were more than justified in thinking we should and could have won that game. So to just write them off as saying, oh, well, we've gone there and won before, no football club stands still, and Dortmund aren't any different. In Aubameyang, they've got an amazing striker who already is proving that Saint-Etienne was not a purple patch in an otherwise bleak career. And even with the McLean, there's a player there who I think, with enough time to just bed in and get used to that side, will contribute just as much as Mario Götze did.
Now, Christian, there's obviously plenty of action still left in the transfer window as well before the before Monday and deadline day. There's some big moves being rumoured. Gareth Bale meant to be announced now today, according to some areas of the press. Coming in, though, and moving around elsewhere in England, Kagawa's been flitted about the press, and of course, Ricky Kakar as well, a possible move to either Arsenal or United being rumoured. Which are the big moves that you think we're going to see in these last few days?
I think everyone's hoping Bale goes to Tottenham, even probably Tottenham fans at this point. because it's getting a bit silly now, you know, he's skipping training and all this kind of stuff. And again, I think in many ways Tottenham have spent the money that they would potentially get incredibly wisely, getting, you know, touch wood for Tottenham fans, that Eric Lamella passes through, and Eriksen. They're two very good players, very exciting. Lamella in particular, I think, could easily rival Bale in terms of his importance and his contributions to that team. And I think the Dortmund Gagawa link, I don't see that happen. I don't see Moyes wanting to subtract from his squad. I think if anything, he's kind of desperate to add to it now, as we see with the bids for De Rossi and the Fellaini-Baines double bid that still isn't enough to tempt his old club. Kakar is perhaps the surprising one, because I feel like he's left this incredibly late. Very much kind of Christmas Eve shopping almost. I'm not sure why he's left it until this point. Perhaps, you know, he was feeling out the start of the season, see where he would be. Anyone who gets him, irrespective of your perception of him prior to this season, is still getting a wonderful player, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was that suggestion that if Orlando City got MLS, he could come there. That would be amazing, but I still think that's a few years off for both parties for it to be a symbiotic deal. I think if he can go back to Milan, wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't it be nice to see him back in the red and black? And even if he's not at the level he was previously, you know, when he famously made Heinz and Evra look like a pair of Muppets at Old Trafford, I still think he could contribute to that team. And I think with the right players around him, he can still be a world-class player.
I'll tell you what, after that second leg against Manchester United where they tore them apart in the San Siro, I went out and I bought myself an AC Milan shirt with Kaká on the back. I never normally get names on the back of the shirt, but yeah, just a true Rossoneri legend, Kaká. It would be great to see him back at Milan, of course. Obviously, Arsenal still haven't bought anybody yet. Is Wenger gonna do anything in these last 3 days or so? I mean, he is leaving things very late indeed, especially now he's got a very tough Champions League draw and Podolski out injured.
Yeah, if Kaká left it to Christmas Eve, Wenger's stopping at the garage on the way home from midnight mass. it's a concern just because, again, he has the money and they've just lost Podolski as well. They've obviously lost, I think it was 20 players have left the club during the summer. Now, admittedly, a lot of that is sensationalist because it's not factoring in that some of these guys were very young guys from the development squad, from the youth team, and thus were not contributing on a regular basis. But it sounds much better if you say 20 players have left Arsenal for obvious reasons. I think he's going to struggle to do any kind of significant business now. And the concern is as well is that anyone he signs, perhaps who isn't a top-quality proven talent right now, will be lumped into the same bracket as Per Mertesacker, and even to a degree Mikel Arteta. I mean, Arteta's been very good since he got to Arsenal, but there was always that feeling, at least from my end, that he was a good player but not a great player, and that signing him, it wasn't necessarily an upgrade. I feel as if Arsenal need players that will drag the rest of the team up, rather than players who need to be dragged up. And that's essentially what I think Kabay is as well. I think he's another one that if you put him in there, I don't think they need that position filling anyway. But if you put him in there, I don't see him lifting the rest of his teammates. He's been captain at Newcastle a handful of times, and in truth, he's never really been the kind of captain that you want. He's actually kind of shirked that side of things a little bit. And so the concern for Wenger is, does he try and buy, or does he just sit on it? I think he's just going to sit on it. And unfortunately, it leaves Arsenal fans incredibly frustrated at the fact that they're paying so much for season tickets and they're not seeing new players come in. Well, they are seeing new players in North London, but they're going to Tottenham. And that's a big concern because Champions League football has been a given for Arsenal for so long. And I think last season they came within a hair's breadth of losing that. And we've seen what happened with Liverpool when they lost it and how difficult it can be to get it back. And so you don't really want to take that chance, I think.
I'll tell you what, this weekend's games could be a very interesting look at how that race for the fourth spot for Champions League football will go. Christian, let's get into some of the score predictions then for the weekend. And we'll leave the big London, North London derby till last, I think. Let's start chronologically, if you will. Start with Manchester City taking on Hull, the first game of the weekend. City with that disastrous loss away at Cardiff. They'll want to put the record straight this weekend, right?
They will. I'm not sure how conscious Manuel Pellegrini will be of Hull's last visit there with the famous Jimmy Bullard celebration mocking Phil Brown. I think there won't be a repeat of that fixture. I think Man City will come out and I think they'll smother. I think they'll smother Hull. I think they'll beat them quite comfortably, in fact. As good as Hull were last weekend in beating Norwich with a one-man advantage, I don't see a same repeat. I think it was very much a flicker and a field full of darkness for Hull, and I see a defeat.
Are we going to go 3-0? I'm going for 2-0, Christian. Hull still have a bit of fight in them. They'll be riding that wave, but City enough to get the points, I feel. Cardiff take on Everton. Everton, I don't know about you, Christian. It's not been a great start for Roberto Martinez. Everton haven't looked that promising, I don't think, in these early going.
No, he's had the difficulty of trying to keep hold of Baines and Fellaini, who I imagine probably want to leave. I think Fellaini's probably more vocal of doing that. And I think in shifting Fellaini back and trying to make him more central, he's kind of lost his influence in a backwards way. I think Fellaini's not really catered to play in central midfield. I think he's an attacking midfielder, even though, you know, you look at him and you think he doesn't look anything like it. I can see Cardiff winning again. I think in many ways with Cardiff, it's going to depend how the fans are. If they can really cultivate the same kind of atmosphere they had against City every week, it's going to be akin to Stoke's first season in the Premier League, where no team really wants to go there. Mm. They don't have the physical bombardment of long throws that Stoke has. I think they have the pace and the work ethic, though, and in particular Gary Medel, to really cause trouble. So I'm thinking 2-1.
2-1 to Cardiff. I still think Roberto Martinez is going to get something right here. I think it will be a 1-0 win on the road for Everton, but it's going to be a difficult one, especially after what we saw last week, Cardiff beating City at home. A club you know very well now, and a club who, again, haven't been doing much in the transfer market, that's for sure. Newcastle take on Fulham. I'm going to tell you now, Christian, I'm going with Newcastle to pick up 3 points. Fulham looked pretty poor last week against an overrun by Arsenal. I'll give Newcastle some credit at home against a side travelling all the way up from London. I'll give them a 1-0 win.
Yeah, I saw Fulham on the opening day against Sunderland, and they came to draw the game. I think that was abundantly clear, and they got quite lucky that they scored off a corner, and after that they didn't really want to do anything else. I think they'll come with a similar mentality. I think it'll be very similar to the game last season with Newcastle, and accordingly I think it'll be possibly a very narrow 1-0 win to Newcastle, who it comes from goodness only knows, because they're still to score in the Premier League.
I was going to say, hopefully Papi Cisse will be able to find something, but maybe he's too busy worrying about having that Wonga sponsorship on his shirt at the moment. Norwich take on Southampton in the next game of the weekend. Southampton away from home. Norwich with that 2-2 draw on the first day of the season and losing to Hull. Southampton spent well, Christian. I can see them getting an away win here 2-1.
Yeah, I felt sorry a little bit for Southampton last week because, you know, if that Rodriguez goal is given onside, which I think it is, apologies to Sunderland fans, then it's a 2-1 win for Southampton, and it changes the complexion of the start of their season. Norwich, I think, have signed a lot of good players on paper, Leroy Fer, Van Volswinkel, but I'm just not too sure on them with Houghton. I just feel like at times maybe he's reaching above what he can do. And I'm inclined to agree with you. I think a 2-1 win on the road for Southampton.
Wow, we've agreed on the last two. This never normally happens on IKTS. West Ham take on Stoke. West Ham at home. Very direct side under Sam Allardyce, taking on a side that maybe has lost that fire slightly without Tony Pulis being at the helm in Stoke City. Stoke got the win last week. West Ham, I think, with a home win, though, 2-0.
Yeah, this is going to be a direct game. There's going to be some stiff necks at the end of this one. I think a home win. I think West Ham, again, I watched them last week against Newcastle. They're very well organised with Reid and Collins. They're really just built to exactly what Allardyce wants. And he very much is content to sign whichever players fit his dynamic and isn't too keen on moulding anything around them. And again, as a consequence, I just think Stoke are in a bit of transition. They're trying to gravitate to a more aesthetically pleasing style, and there's going to be days where it's going to come unstuck, and I think it's against West Ham.
Final game on the Saturday then. I mean, what a thriller at 5:30 here in the UK on television. Crystal Palace taking on Sunderland at home. I've got Di Canio down as to get a 1-0 win away from home. Will Palace approach this in the same way they approach Spurs at home, do you think, Christian?
No, I think they'll go at this with a bit more gusto, just because Sunderland and Tottenham are two very different propositions. I think, again, the reason I think Sunderland will win this is because Sunderland are very consistent in terms of Di Canio has them organised and incredibly well drilled. And I think there will be just lapses in concentration from Palace as they try and go for it. And I think that's where Sunderland will ultimately strike.
Sunderland
probably go 1-0 because I don't see Sunderland scoring a lot of goals.
Another agreement. I think it's the last four now. This never happens, Kristen. Maybe you and Raf should do it next week and see what you guys come up with then. Let's move into Sunday. Let's move into Sunday now. West Brom, Swansea. Swansea like going to the Hawthorns, have played well the last couple of times they've been up there. And the Baggies having a sputtering start to the season without Romelu Lukaku to rely on for goals. Do West Brom get a victory at home, or does Swansea go on the road and pick up 3 points?
No, I just realised we haven't really said any draws. I think this has got draw written all over it. It's a game where I think they just cancel each other out. West Brom needs a striker, I think, just to give a little bit of pressure off the guys there that Lukaku's void has left. Swansea, I think, even though they're balancing Europe and the Premier League very well, and credit to Loudon for doing that, I just don't see them as a great road team. They seem to stumble a little bit on the road, and again, I think that means they'll cancel each other out, and it'll probably be a 1-1 draw at best.
A 1-1. I'm going with a Swansea away win. It's going to be close, but it's going to be 1-0 Swansea. Wilfred Bonny, I do like the look of him. I rated him from Eredivisie as well, so I'm hoping it will be him who grabs the goals. We've got the two big games now. Liverpool-Manchester United, 1:30 on Sunday to kick us all off here in the UK. United away from home at Anfield. David Moyes' second huge game in a row. And, of course, these two drawn in the League Cup as well, ready for Suarez's return. The stories just keep coming out of this rivalry, don't they?
Yeah. It's a passionate affair, I think is a nice way to put it. They don't always get on, these two. Let them get on with it, I would say. And I just think Liverpool at home is a very intimidating proposition, and it's a huge test for Moyes. The only thing he's got going for him is that he can be very defensively resolute. I think they showed that against Chelsea. There wasn't really a huge amount of chances for Chelsea on Monday. I thought they'd nulled them very well. And as a consequence of that, I think they'll do the same to Liverpool, as wonderful as Felipe Coutinho is to watch. Again, I'm thinking a draw. I'm thinking possibly 1-1 again. I just see it being a very bitty affair, much like Monday evening.
I'll tell you what, I've got United to sneak this one, Kristen, but only because I saw Liverpool against Villa last week, and Liverpool were composed, but there was very little pace to their game, and they were so willing to sit back against Villa and let a side come at them. If they get lethargic at all, which they obviously shouldn't, but if they do, I think there's a real possibility of them slipping up, and I think Moyes as well would like to get one over his old rivals from his Everton days. So I can see United getting a 2-1 win at Anfield on this one. Finally, the big North London derby. This could prove to be a huge game come the end of the season in terms of Champions League positions and points in the league. Can Tottenham push this pedestal that swings between these two in terms of the dominant side in North London? Can they push it over to their side with a win at the Emirates?
I think, no, they can't. It's not even just the Bale effect. I think there's changes there that need to be bedded in. And if there's one benefit of the fact that Arsenal have been so parsimonious this summer, it's that there's been no real change to bed in. Sonogo won't start, obviously, he's the only new signing. And I think understanding will best any kind of potential talent on paper here, and Arsenal will end up winning 2-1.
2-1. I'm going 2-1 the other way. I think there's enough about Spurs, and there's so much negativity about Arsenal at the moment, Christian. I just worry that that's going to be enough to sway it in Tottenham's favour for this weekend at least. We will look at the scores, and I'm sure we'll be sending you an email and a couple of tweets over the weekend depending on how well you do this week, Kristen. But it's an absolute pleasure to have you on, taking us through the games this weekend in the Premier League, and of course having a look at some of the big news as we head into a big weekend and the end of the transfer deadline as well, mate.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Mr. Christian Hennage joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Premier League football and playing a little bit of IKTS as well on the show and getting into a bit of our score predictions.